Parshas Vayera, we spoke a lot, we had a whole chumash here, and we still didn't get to half the material, and there's still so much more to talk about in Parshas Vayera. So we'll just mention just a couple short ha'aris, we don't want to take up too much time. There's a cute var from the Chiddush Harim. Chiddush Harim was once asked, where do you see that there's an Indian of Shirayim? If you go to a Chassidish Tishim, not that I go that often, not that I went once in my life, but if you've ever gone to a Chassidish Tishim, you know, one of the experiences are this idea of Shirayim, where you eat the leftovers from the Rebbe, putting aside all the health issues that are involved. So someone asked the Chiddush Harim, where do you see such a concept, that you eat the Rebbe's leftovers and it does something for you? So he brought it right from this week's parsha. Why? So the Medrash tells us that Sarah, when she nursed Yitzchak, she nursed all other babies also. Because everyone was claiming that she wasn't really the mother. She really picked the baby off the street, and she can't really nurse the baby. So she nursed Yitzchak, and then she nursed all these other babies afterwards. And the Medrash says all the babies that Sarah nursed all grew up to have big Yirah Shemayim. So said the Chiddush Harim, all those babies were eating Yitzchak's Shirayim. Yitzchak started the nursing, and everything else was Shirayim from Yitzchak. So you see that Shirayim from Adam Gadol gives you Yirah Shemayim. That's Chiddush Harim's right. On the flip side, I have to say, over from the Sfas Emes, the Chiddush Harim's grandson. I don't know if we'll get into all this, but there's a lot to talk about in the whole story with the Benois Loit. It's probably one of the most taboo topics in Lee Sefer Bereishis, but it needs to be mentioned because the Gemara tells us that from Benois Loit comes Mashiach, comes Rus, which comes David, which comes Mashiach. So I know we don't like to talk about it, but you have to stop and take a step back and say, what? From that relationship, which is so perverted, you know, weird, from that relationship, Hashem chose to put in Mashiach, the thing that we at least say, and hopefully we mean, we wait for every day to come and take us out of this world we're living in, and it's going to come from a relationship like that, from a father and a daughter, which is so wrong with drunkenness. The whole story is just wild, but that's where it comes from. And we can't deny it. So the Sfas Emes says, listen to this, he says it comes because of Haran. We forgot in Parashat Lech Lecha there was a Haran. Haran was Moshe Nefesh for Judaism. It didn't work because he died. But said the Sfas Emes, Hashem repaid him. His reward was from him would come eventually Mashiach. And that shows you that Mesiras Nefesh, even if it wasn't perfect, because Haran was like on the fence about Judaism. But at the end of the day, Haran's sacrifice for Judaism was why later would be Mashiach ben David coming from those from his children, which is an amazing, amazing idea. Very often in life, parents make decisions and sacrifices, and they're not always perfect, but you sometimes try your best. And you wonder, where's the payers going to come from? Where's the future going to be? And from those acts, sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you credit, even though they weren't perfect, they weren't 100%, Haran died. He wasn't saved like Avraham Avinu, but still, since what he was doing was a noble act, from him ultimately came this Mashiach ben David, from a very interesting relationship. If I don't know how many people get, I know Michael sent that, I have a podcast that I give to Divrei Torah in my shul on Friday. So if you get it, it's because I had to listen to last week, because I said over a beautiful Ha'ar from Rabbi Soloveitchik, which you never think about, and it's something to think about every year, Parshas Vayera. I'll just throw out the question if you have the time to listen to the answer. Right, we all know the Akedah ends when Avraham Avinu was told, don't shecht Yitzchak, but instead take the animal. But if you continue reading on the Chumash then tells you a story about Nachar having a bunch of children. And if you ask yourself, why is the Torah telling me this? It seems to be irrelevant to the story of the Akedah. The Akedah ends, finished. Avraham Avinu is Maase Nefesh, he's fantastic, he's amazing, end of the story. Yeah, the Torah goes on to tell us like 3-4 psukim about Nachar's children. And Rabbi Soloveitchik makes the question even stronger by pointing out that on Rosh Hashanah, when we try to tap into this Chus of the Akedah, we refer to those psukim also. Why would we refer to these psukim? They have absolutely no relevancy to the Akedah. The Akedah seem to have ended with this story. So very b'kitzur, Rabbi Soloveitchik answered that's part of the Nisayim. Part of the Nisayim is Rabbi Avinu came back from the Akedah and said, why do I have such a hard life and my brother has such an easy life? Look at my brother Nachar. He's a nobody. He's not serving God. And look, he just has kids like this. He has 8 kids like that. And why am I suffering? I have one kid, Hashem puts me through the roundabout, and I suffer, and I have all these tzaras. Why does he have such an easy life, and I have such a difficult life? That was part and parcel of the Nisayin of the Akedah, said Rabbi Soloveitchik. And that's why we read it on Rosh Hashanah, because we're tapping into that feeling that very often we have, why is my life so complicated? And the guy next door who's a lot worse off than me, why for some reason he has such an easy life? And the guy around the corner has such an easy life. Something very profound to think about when we come to this time of the year. Okay, I hate to report the passing of Rabbi Asher Weiss's mother. I saw the news. She was a great woman. She produced wonderful children, that's for sure. All of her sons grew up to be unbelievable people. That was a bracha that her husband got from the Klausenberger Rebbe years back when his father was very metapel with burying the dead after liberation. He, together with the Klausenberger Rebbe, went to Mamish buried bodies. And when he made a comment to the Klausenberger Rebbe that he had enough already, and he wanted to get back to regular life, the Klausenberger Rebbe said, "You don't think I want to get back to? You don't think I want to learn Torah and teach Torah? We got to do this. We got to bury these bodies." And he got a bracha to Klausenberger Rebbe that he'd have very, very special children. And Kachav, they all grew up to be superstar children, as you'd say. But we benefit probably the most from Reb Asher Weiss because of his Torah, his shurim. He comes here in person. We're lucky to have him here. And those who have a special relationship with him are even more lucky. And his Torah is amazing. And Baruch Hashem, so it's a sad loss for Klal Yisrael. I know he was asking everyone to daven for her, and I'm hoping everyone was. So it was a big loss for Klal. She herself was a Holocaust survivor. She lived, what was his loss? He had a funny loss a couple of weeks ago when he referred to his mother, how he spoke about his mother. Very interesting way he depicted his mother. But in any case, I'm sure she will be a Melitza Yosha for Klal Yisrael and for all of us. On upbeat news, we'd like to wish Mazel Tov to Michael Charnowitz upon the birth of a grandson born to his children, Dr. Noam Charnowitz and his wife in Florida. He's listening on his way back from Florida, I believe, from Shom Zachar, so he's listening in. So we wish him a very special Mazel Tov. And it's always nice when we have a baby boy, because in my mind, we're still learning Rebbe Elazar Demila. So we're still learning Rebbe Elazar Demila. So it's another baby we can attribute to Rebbe Elazar Demila that we learned the 18th, 19th Parak of Shabbos. Michael, you hearing? I don't know if he's listening.
Michael would know who the
Michael's got it covered already. So we wish them a very special Machnisa the Bebris Shal Avraham Avinu. I'm sure everyone remembered that the Taisvis we learned at the beginning of Rebbe Elazar Demila came up in this week's Parsha. We saw a Taisvis that Taisvis learned that it says in the Pasuk that Avraham Avinu made a party for Yitzchak. So Rashi says it was a 2-year-old party, but we learned the Taisvis in the beginning of Rebbe Elazar Demila that it was actually a bris. It was his bris. So if you're ever called upon to speak at a bris and you don't have time to prepare, use this vart. But Moshe Shtermach asks, why did he make a suda for the bris of Yitzchak and not for his own bris? So Moshe Shtermach said the party he made was not for the mitzvah of bris. It was for bringing another generation into a bris. When you bring another generation into Klal Yisrael, that's reason to make a party. So if you're ever called upon to speak at a bris, grandson, great-grandson, Moshe Shem further diaries, and you don't have something prepared, this is a great vort to say over. That he made the party not because of the mitzvah, because he would have done it when he had the bris. He made it because he was so happy to bring another generation, tachas kanfei shchina, to bring another generation and a future generation into the bris. That's something very special, and for that he made a party, and that's what he was celebrating. Okay, let's get back to work over here.
Who gives that answer?
Moshe Shtembach. In this week's parsha, in his Sefer Tam Vadas, I think is the name of the Sefer. It's a beautiful vort, very, very apropos for any bris if you need to speak off the cuff, but it's a nice vort. Okay, so let's get back to Ksubas. Okay, so where are we holding over here in Ksubas? So we're holding over here, we have a very difficult Gemara Psachim. The Gemara Psachim says that if a person eats chametz of truma on Pesach, okay? Oichel chametz shel truma be Pesach b'shoigig. Right? So the Gemara says, Tosfos quotes the Gemara, that you. No, it should be one page, back to back. Is it not? I don't look. What is it? Yes. Should be one page back to back. Yeah,
so
one
page.
Where is the top source? Number one. If you remember, we had a Tosfos.
But that's not what it says. You have to read it.
One second. I'm just giving you the back to back the background a little bit. We had a Gemara where the Gemara told us that if you eat truma of chametz b'shoigig on Pesach, the halacha is that you have to. Okay. So the Gemara says whether or not you pay the keren v'chomer. So the Gemara says.
Yeah.
What? No.
I finally got on. If you're checking, I'm sorry.
You missed the part where we talked about you. It's good.
Really? I just got on the second. Good.
Okay, you missed the part where we talked about you. Don't worry about it. So Zaina Kapara. Okay. Enjoy. Now we put everyone on mute. Right there. Okay. So we have a Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara in Pesachim says a person eats Truma B'Shoigig on Pesach. So let's work this out. Truma on Pesach is what Truma gives you, Misa B'Dei Shemayim. And Chametz on Pesach gives Karis. So we know that Karis has Kamlev D'Rab Mineh. So if a person does that, he has to pay the keren and he has to pay the chomish. But the Gemara says he's pater.
One quick question.
Sure.
Why is it chomish? It's just grain, right?
No, we're talking about a case where it was like regular, you know.
It was cooked into
a... Yeah, real chomish. And not like, you know, like...
And that's truma, somebody... You know,
right.
And not its raw state?
Right, right. Truma turned into something like a cake before Pesach. Right, and now it's a cake, you know, challah, okay. Whatever. So the Gemara says he's pater... The Gemara says he has to pay the keren v'chomish if he's b'shoigig, but if he does it on purpose, there's kim lebed rab mineh. So Taisus has a big question. What do you mean? Why is there no kim lebed rab mineh b'shoigig also? The guy's by mistake. There should also be kim lebed rab mineh. Why? Because Taisus is of the opinion that we say kim lebed rab mineh even b'shoigig. Very important. Taisus is of the opinion that we say kim lebed rab mineh even b'shoigig. Rashi disagrees. Rashi says we don't say kim lebed rab mineh when you're a shoigig on a chayvei krisus. Let's go back a step. The Gemara says, and later on in our perek, there's a drasha from Tana de Bechizkia. Tana de Bechizkia says if a person shoots a person by mistake and he's not chayiv misas bezdin, but he's chayiv theoretically misas bezdin, we still have kim lebedi rabbi minei. That's called chayiv misas shogigim. That's only true by misas bezdin. By karis, that's a machlokes rishonim. Again, we hold, according to Mnuchon Yemen HaKona, there's Kim Lev Dramnei by Karis. There's a Machloikis Rishoyin with this Kim Lev Dramnei by Karis, even if you're a Shoigig. Okay? So again, if you're a Shoigig on a Chayvi Krisis, that's subjected to a Machloikis Rashi and Taisus. Rashi holds there is no Kim Lev Dramnei in that case. Taisus says there is Kim Lev Dramnei in that case. So according to Taisus, he just backed himself into a wall. Why? Because according to Taisus, a person eats Truma B'Shoigig on Pesach. Why does he have to pay the Kerem Mechemish? He should be exempt under the banner of Kim Lebed Rab Minei. That's Taisus' question. Why does he not have Kim Lebed Rab Minei? That's a good question. We're going to come. We'll hopefully get to that in a second. Why you would not? Because
you're not getting the Yonish.
Rebbe, neither are you by Mises Bezdin.
Right? Didn't we say?
And there everyone agrees you have Kim Lebed Rab
Minei. Would it prevent you from having to bring a chakas?
What would?
The Kim Lebed Rab Minei.
No, not necessarily. You still have a chiv karmen, let's say.
Because in theory, you have a chiv karis also.
Right.
So therefore, your shogi chathos should be. Kim levi derabim, the karis should take care of that.
Yeah, but how does that affect the payment? The karim v'chaymish. Well, we're talking about the karim v'chaymish. Yeah, right. You can still have to bring a carbon. That's a good point. We never talked about it so much. We'll come up a little later in today's shir. But yeah, there's still a carbon.
The carbon's on the truma.
That's right. That's correct.
The truma problem is misabilation bayim.
That is true too.
So there's
that. And again, the kim lebed rami that we're discussing is on the karen and on the chaymish. There's a halacha and the chumish. If a person eats truma accidentally, he has to repay what he ate plus an additional fifth. So the Taisus wants to know why, if a person eats truma b'shoigig, does the Gemara say in Psachim that he has to, that he's the Gemara says he has to pay? Why should he have to pay? He should be exempt from kimlay. Now, according to Rashi, this Gemara is beautiful. Why is this Gemara beautiful? Because it's shoigig. There's no kimlay. That's why you have to pay. Beautiful. This Gemara is actually a riot to Rashi. But this Gemara is a kash on Taisus. So Taisus came up, and that's where we'll start off today. So Taisus came up with a gevaldik gechidish. The Eishloimer and for Taisus, the shani shoygi the truma mishum the tashlumin didei kapara of the loimim moina. So Taisus came up with a new chidish that whenever the payment is a kapara, we don't say kim lebed ramine. And since the payment of truma is kapara, that's why there's no kim lebed ramine over here. That's Taisus's chidish. The chaymish, right? The chaymish that you pay when you eat truma b'shoigig, that is the purpose is just to be a kapara, and whenever the purpose is to be kapara, there's no rules of kim levi d'ramine.
Isn't karis in general kapara?
I mean, not necessarily.
No.
Kapara. Well, it's. But first of all, we saw that not everyone agrees that after karis, a person will be nischaper. But there are meaning. Taisus is introducing us to a new lumnus that there are certain financial payments that are b'yisoidam all about giving you a kapara. So if you remember last week, we had a kashim Rabbi Chanan. What about malchus? Is it Malchus also a kapara? And we know Malchus has Kim Levi Ramine. So Rabbi Chanan, so one of the answers that we want to suggest from Rabbi Shteinman was maybe not. Maybe Malchus is not so much a kapara. Malchus is a different type of experience. It depends on how do you... I mean, Rabbi Shteinman wanted to make it a little clearer and say it depends on not kapara or not kapara. It depends on is it your obligation or Bez's obligation. But Taizvus is, so it is that whenever something is a kapara, you don't say Kimle. Why not? Right, the Karen is going to be... That's not a kapara.
But there's no way about the Kimble.
So, right, so when...
You have to pay back to school to the stam.
Right, so I think whenever there's no Chaymish, there's no Karen. So you don't have one with the other. I think, we'll see, maybe that's not so simple, but yeah. But the question is, what's the Svara to this? Why, whenever there's kapara, there's no Kimle? So we mentioned last week, two pshat them. I think they're both logical. One Svara is very practical, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to get a kapara. If you're going to have Kimle, you're going to lose out on your kapara. Hashem Baruch Hu wants you to get, you need to obtain forgiveness for the act that you did. Eating truma b'shoigig was wrong. You need to get kapara. If I pull the Kimle card, you're not going to get that kapara.
That's against Tosfos.
Oh, that's what Tosfos is saying.
Why? Tosfos is saying there.
Because it's kapara, that's why we don't say Kimle. Why not? We want you to pay. Why do we want you to pay so badly? Because we want you to get that kapara.
Didn't we ask last week that if you eat the truma by b'shoigig, you have to bring a korban?
Okay.
Isn't that a kapara?
No,
that,
so the whole point. Very good, very good. So there's a kapara, that's what we have to get
on the eating of the truma.
So we need to get this, we need to get that a little clearer today. But there is, again, if you hold the chaymish as a kapara, that means that's one level of kapara. You got to have a kapara with money, and then you have to have a kapara with a carbon.
Okay.
So that's, I guess, the simple way of reading Taisvus. Now, you obviously could argue and say, one second, maybe if there's a chidish akra called kim levi d'ramine, somehow that also gets absolved. Meaning somehow maybe you get your kapara through not paying. I mean, the whole Kimle is unique, right? Kimle says that if you get one, you don't get the other. What's the pshat? So maybe the pshat is that somehow the kapara will still be obtained without the actual payment. It's weird, but it's possible. That's one way. The other way we saw it last week was that the din of Kimle b'Rabbanan is when a person gets two punishments. A kapara is not a punishment. It's not an einish. Remember we learned that one of the mekayos of Kimle b'Rabbanan is kedei rishasai. You can only give one punishment. This is not a punishment. A kapara is not a punishment. This is really what Reb Shteinman was saying last week. A kapara is the pshat that you need to clear your status by doing something. That's not a punishment.
It's a benefit.
It's a benefit, maybe even, right? So therefore, it's just not similar to the typical case of Kimle b'Rabbanan. That's what the other way of learning Tosfos is. But in any case, that's the words of Tosfos. The words of Tosfos are that since the chaimish is a kapara, there's no Kimle and a kapara. So now, what's the obvious question? Who told Tosfos that the chaimish is a kapara? How do you know what the chumash is? You open up a chumash. It says in the chumash, you eat chumah b'shoyeg, you pay karen b'chumash. I don't know what it's supposed to mean. Maybe it's not a kapar. Maybe it's a penalty. It's a good old-fashioned knas, a penalty, to ensure people don't do this in the future. Penalty, I don't know. How do you know what's a kapar and
what's the punishment if you ate it b'mezid?
Misa. I mean, the whole chiddush. Correct. Meaning, that's what we spoke about last week. There's no concept of chumash when you do it b'mezid. The whole concept of the chumash is only b'shoyeg. Now, what does that lead you to think? That what, it's a punishment or a kapara? I don't know. I mean, the whole concept of chumash only exists in a situation where a person does it by mistake. So what does the Torah want from the guy? So you could learn it was a penalty to be more careful next time. The guy was a mistake, right? There's two loaves of bread. One was truma, one was chulin, and he accidentally ate the truma. Not a bad person. He's not a sinner. He's not a terrible person. He made a mistake. So maybe the chumash is to make sure you don't make mistakes next time. I don't know.
In all cases of chumash, we say it's only mistake, like when you steal an animal.
Yes. No, the chumash by truma. Okay, we're going to go today a little bit investigate other payments in the Torah. But chumash shel truma is only b'shegik. It's only applicable.
That's
true. Now we're going to talk about other chaymishes that exist in a second in Baba Kama. We'll get to that in a few minutes. But according to Taisvis, the chaymish. But how does Taisvis know? So Taisvis doesn't just leave us hanging. Taisvis, I'll prove it to you. Kedar mina maseches trumas. It's a mishnah in trumas. Perek vav mishnah aleph. Dimratze koyin limchol eino yochol limchol. Let's say the koyin says, you know what? I know you took my truma. You ate my truma. I feel bad for you. You don't have enough money. Forget the chaymish. It's mechila. You don't have to pay me the chaymish. Again, let's make the case a little bit.
It's not a knas.
Well, what?
He can't be meichel if it's a knas either.
One second. Well, or it's a mum in a skiv. Okay, well, let's get to that. So Taisu says the coin can't be meichel. Why? Now, we're talking about a case, just to make it easier, that your mom came into my house and you ate my truma. I'm a coin, and I have truma. I have a cake of truma, a challah of truma, and you come into my house and you eat that. So that's mamish, you stole from me, you took from me, and the chaymish presumably should go to me. And I say, you know what, it's okay, you're having a hard time, I'm being moichel the chaymish.
Says to moichel in advance, or is it only after? Like if you invite somebody over to Shabbos, you're the kohen, and you serve them dessert of
no,
cake.
No, the chatchil, definitely not. No, he's not allowed to eat it. He'd still be over Nisa for eating my truma.
Even if
I give it to him, I'd be a siyu. I'd also get into trouble. So Taisu says, why can't you be meichel? Mishum dolai have a kap. Mishum dolai have a momen. Because it's not real momen. Ela kapara. It's only kapara. Says Taisu, afilu ochal trumas atzmoi. Even let's say, for example, you ate your own truma. How would you have your own truma? So most commentaries learn your own truma means you inherited it from your grandfather, your mother's father.
You're not a
kohen. You're not a kohen. Your mother's father was a kohen. He died. And I guess you're next in line for this. So now you inherited all his cakes and cookies. So now you inherited a whole list of stuff that's truma. So you didn't steal. It's mine. I can't eat it, right. So it's still technically mine, but I can't eat it. So in that case, says the Tosfos, if I were to go and eat that truma, the way goes on media, you can't call me a thief. Belongs to me. But still, Misham Kapar Latzmi V'chamish L'Kain. I'd have to, in that case, pay the Karen to myself, which we'll talk about what that means. V'chamish L'Kain. I'd still have to give a chamish to another coin.
The truma has to be given to a
coin. So the way we'll see in a second is that the Karen that I ate, meaning I didn't steal the value of it because it's really my value, but what I could do is I could have sold it to another coin. Meaning I have rights to this chal. Exactly. I can't eat it, so I could sell it to another coin for the going price of a challah roll.
Can I let it rot or something?
I could. But in this case, he says the Karen really is because this piece of challah I owned. I just technically can't eat it. So what I would have had to have done is sold it to a coin, and for top dollar, I can make a profit over this. The chaymish, then I give that to another coin, because the chaymish is not going to come to me. We'll talk about this hopefully a little later as well. Then Taisus finishes up. But Taisus says, but when it comes to Hektish, which was the other case in the Gemara Pesachim, by Hektish, we do say Kim Nidramine. Why do we say Kim Nidramine by Hektish? By Mi'ila. Because Mi'ila, that payment is taka just is not a kapara. That's just an additional financial obligation. So then you would say Kim Nidramine. One last line, and then we'll get into it. It says, Taisvis, Vida, I'll bring you a raya. The betruma chay mishum de kapara huveloy mishum kivin de goli goli. The holy rova de loipota bemisa mitam kim leib dramine my time aloy mifter ochachumas chomes be pesach. If you can remember, we had in the Gemara machloikas abayin rova. When do you say kim leib dramine? Do you say kim leib dramine by misa vide shemaim, or do you say kim leib dramine only by karis? Rova said you only say kim leib dramine by karis. If you remember, Taisvis himself told us that according to Abaya, you have to come up with the following chiddush. You have to come up with the chiddush that there's no din of kim leib dramine by truma. We had this 2 weeks ago on Sunday. Taisu said that in order for a bayit to be able to read the pesukim in the chumash, because it says in the chumash, if you eat truma b'shoigig, you pay a chumash. Frak Taisu says, 1 second, according to Abaya says truma is misa b'deshamayim. Misa b'deshamayim, you have kim leid ramene. You have kim leid ramene even b'shoigig. So how does the Torah say that there's such a concept called truma? The Torah says that you pay a chumash when you eat truma b'shoigig. Why? Every time you eat truma b'shoigig, you should have kim leid ramene. So Taisu came up with this chiddush. No! Truma is the exception to the rule. We don't say Kim Dramine by Truma because Truma is unique. That was Taisus's Chiddush. But that whole Chiddush was only in Abaya's world. In Rava's world, that Chiddush never existed. So for Taisus, in Rava's world, if a person eats Truma, Shal Chometz, the Pesach, he has Karis on the Chometz. Karis on the Chometz should carry Kimle. If he has Kimle, why does it say that he has to pay? Why is he Potter? A guy ate, again, according to Rava, a person ate Truma on Pesach, that's Karis. If there's Karis, there should be Kimle. If there's Kimle, why exactly does he have to still pay? It must be because Truma is a Kapara. And since Truma is a Kapara, we don't say Kimle Dramine on a Kapara. That's Taisvis's right. That's Taisvis's point for the day.
You mean Truma is a Kapara?
The Chumash of the Truma is a Kapara. So now, we started to talk last week about other places in the Torah where there's a payment called Kapara. So we started to talk about Kofer. The halach is when an animal kills a person, so the halach is the owner of the animal has to pay what's called Kofer. What's kaifer? So the Gemara has a back and forth. Is kufr kapara, is kufr b'mayin? Every human being has a value. So when you kill a person, you take away his value. No different than when you break his arm. You devalue him. So when you kill him, you definitely devalue him. So the Gemara has the Chumash says in Mishpatim that if a person, the animal, kills a person, you have to pay kaifer. The Gemara has a whole discussion. How do you calculate it? Do you calculate it based on the deceased? Or do you calculate it based on the murderer? A whole discussion. How do you calculate it? Tamei Nizik, Tamei Mazik, a whole discussion. But the point is, the Gemara asks in a couple places, why is there no kaifer when a person kills another person? Why do I only have to pay when my animal kills a person and not when my kill a person? So Rashi seems to say, because you say, Kim Lebed Rabbi Mine, Avada, you should have to pay, but that's included in the Misa that you're going to get for killing the person. That's Rashi Shita. So we started to talk a little bit last week, 1 second. But that payment is a kapara. Kufra's kapara. So if kufra is kapara, I thought you don't say kim leib dramine whenever something is a kapara. So how could Rashi write in Baba Kama Dav Dalet, and Rashi writes it also in Baba Kama Dav Nun Gimel, that you say kim leib dramine on kaifer, that's a kapara. I thought we don't say when something is a kapara, kim leib dramine.
Extra amount.
It's not extra. It's meaning a person kills another person.
Right. So kaifer is karen?
Well, again, kaifer would be the value of the deceased person.
Okay, but so you may get a kapara for it, but you're still compensating the family for the loss of the person. Whereas chomesh, you've already taken care of the
Karen. So you're assuming for a given that when, even though the Gemara says kufra kapara, it's really more a financial obligation.
The fact that you're getting a kapara is fine, but you're also, even if you didn't get a kapara, you still have an obligation to compensate the deceased's family, right?
So you're learning that kofer is not a kapara in the full sense of it. It's more of a financial obligation.
It's an ikar and a tafel.
Okay, good. Well, we're going to see. We're going to talk about it. We'll see. So we're going to see, right. So what's the machlok is kofer kapara, kofer mamayna. So again, let's just get it clear. Rashi, Shita, and Baba Kama. The bas kol min hashamayim. Yeah. Yeah, what would you say, Michael? No, we're gonna have to see. We're gonna have to see a little better. What does it mean, kufra kapara? Okay, very good. That's what we're gonna try to do today. We're gonna try to go around Shas, or at least a couple places in Shas, where we find the terminology kapara and figure out what that really means. So again, Rashi Shita and Baba Kama, at least in two places, is that the reason why there's no kofer when a person kills another person is because of kim leib d'rabbi mineh. So you'll tell me it's against our taisvus. So that might not be such a big deal. So Machlokes is Rashi and Tosfos. Won't be the first, won't be the last. They're allowed to disagree. So we never got down to last week. What's Rashi's sheet in this whole sugyo? We said Rashi's never negeya to this problem because Rashi holds there's no kimlei b'dirab minei b'shoigig. So Rashi has no problem with this gemarim sachem. The gemarim sachem that Tosfos was troubled with was never a troubling issue for Rashi. Why? Because what's the gemarim sachem? The gemarim sachem says if you eat chuma b'shoigig, there's no kimlei. So according to Rashi, it's kvaldik, there's no kimlei. There's never kimlei b'shoigig. So we don't really know what Rashi holds with regard to the issue of kapara. So Rashi can hold one of two things. Either Rashi holds the chaymish is not a kapara. That's a possibility. Or Rashi holds imtem tzolayim, it is a kapara. Maybe you still say kimle v'draminei a kapara. It's not klor v'shalt Rashi. When Rashi, you have many options. Now that we know Rashi in Baba Kama Dav Dalid.
I don't understand. Tosfos the case of the chometz and the chometz.
Yeah.
And the payment is coming from the Isser Truma.
Right.
Would we necessarily say Kimlei when the punishments are coming from two separate Isurim?
Well, it's one act. That's the same act that creates both his Chayvus. So I would assume yes. Tosfos never had a problem with that. Tosfos did the same thing with Meiser, with Me'ila. Where by Me'ila he played the same card, that the Misa comes from one and the Tashlumah comes from somewhere else. It sounds like Tosfos was okay with that. That's what it sounds like. So what does Rashi hold? Yesh Lodon, what does Rashi hold? So we have Rashi in Baba Kama, two places. Rashi says Kufra Kapara, and the Gemara still, and Rashi says there's no Kim Leib Dirami when a person kills another person because of Kim Leib Dirami. So we were talking about last week from the Binas Daniel. Daniel Erfeld was pointing out this observation. What does Rashi hold? So he leaves off with a stickle tzorachin. He thinks it's a stira. He thinks that if Rashi in Baba Kama Dav Dalet says that Kufra Kapara, and still there's no Kimlei because there's still no Kaifer because of Kimlei, that means Rashi must hold that you do say Kimlei even when there's a Kapara. So he wants to say that must be that Rashi has to disagree with Tosfos. Tosfos said very clearly that when it's a kapara, we don't say kimlei. Rashi has to disagree because Rashi says by kaifer, even though it might be a kapara, we still say kimlei b'dirabimine. Now it's not muchach in our Rashi what Rashi holds again because Rashi is very vague. But let's play that game for a little bit. Let's say Rashi holds that you still say kimlei b'dirabimine even when it's a kapara. So that's why on Dav Dalet Rashi holds, you say Kim Leib Yamin by Kaifer. But the truth is, before we even get to see what other Achronim say, the Marsha points out this kasha. I didn't put it down because I don't want to get so sidetracked as we already are. The Marsha asks in Baba Kama that there's a Mefurish Gemara in Chavav in Baba Kama. The Gemara says Daf Chavav that you know why there's no Kaifer when a man kills a man? Because of Gzeris HaKasif. It says in Kaifer Yushas Olav, Olav V'loy Ala Adam. That the whole concept of Kaifer doesn't exist when there is a human involved. So for Ektam Arshah, why is Rashi giving me all these creative terutzim? There's no kaifer by a person because of kimlei. It's a kasev. The Torah says why there's no kaifer. There's no kaifer because there's a kasev. Allah v'loy ala adam. And the Marshal leaves off with a tzarechin. Now, what's the obvious answer to the Marshal's kasha based on what we've learned before? If everyone remembers, when we talked about kimlei b'dramine, what's always something to discuss when you have kimlei b'dramine? Is there still a chiyah of latzei sidei shemayim? Is there still an option that I can grab? So let's say, for example, Reuven kills Shimon. So now Shimon's family comes to him and says, I want the kaifer money. They say, I'm sorry.
Or doesn't matter.
Rashi even speaks that over. It doesn't matter because we hold, it's still kimlei. So he comes to the family and says, I want my money. They say, I'm sorry, Bezdin exempted me because of kimlei. So he says, no problem. When you're out, I'll jump into your house and steal something. So if the whole mikor is only kimlei, we saw from Rashi in Mitzia Daf Tzadi Aleph, when it comes to kimlei, there's always an option maybe of tfisa. But if the Torah comes out and says, Allah, v'loy ala adam, the Torah explicitly exempts you, so then there's nothing to talk about. So that might just be, then you don't owe the money at all, there's no chilas, there's garnished with garnished. Now, that doesn't answer the question completely, it just now makes the question more complicated. So why does Rashi tell me kimlei, just have Allah? And once I have Allah, I don't need kimlei. Meaning I understand why I need kimlei and Allah. Because if I just have kimlei, it would still be possible for the guy to grab the money. So I need the exerce a cuss of Allah, v'loy ala adam, to tell me, no, you're exempt completely. But why do you go the other way and just have a love and don't need the reason of kimlei? Fine. That's the Marsha's kasha. So now that we have two places, what does this lead us to believe? If we have two psukim in the Torah to exclude kaifer by a adam al adam, that leads us to believe that there must be something deeper going on by kaifer. So if you take a look over in number two in the Chedusha Reb Reuven. So Reb Reuven Gazovsky was the son-in-law by Reb Baruch Ber. He survived the war, and he really helped Reb Baruch Ber rebuild Reb Bachmai didn't die in the war. Reb Bachmai died before the war, but Reb Reuven survived the war, and he really rebuilt a lot of Torah here in America. He lived in Muncie. He had a sad ending. He got hit by a car. That's a story. But in any case, Reb Reuven was, interestingly enough, he didn't start off in Reb Bachmai was the Rosh Yeshiva. In Slabodka, there were two yeshivas, and they were very opposite yeshivas. One was pro-Musser, one was anti-Musser. Right, it was a huge fight in the pro-anti-Muslim movement at that time in the 20th century. So Reb Bachmai was the Rosh Yeshiva of Beis Yitzchak. Beis Yitzchak was the Musser Yeshiva. The other yeshiva was Knesset Yisrael. That was Slobodka Yeshiva. That's where Reb Reuven was a Talmud. And he ended up marrying the Rosh Yeshiva of the other yeshiva's daughter. Just to show how there was no real fight, you know, internal politics with the two of them. But there were two separate yeshivas in Slobodka at that time. And they had, different ideas of how to run the yeshiva. So Reb Reuven ended up marrying Reb Baruch Ber's daughter from the opposite yeshiva. Reb Reuven was really in Slobodka, the typical Slobodka that we know of. He was with Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky and Reb Ruderman in the regular Yisrael. Slobodka, while he was in Beis Yitzchak. I forgot to read the names. One was Yisrael and one was Yitzchak. One was Reb Yisrael Salanter and one was Yitzchak for Reb Yitzchak Elchanan, I think. I forgot already. In any case, there are two separate yeshivas. Knesset Yisrael, thank you. Knesset Yisrael. Knesset Yisrael and Beis Yitzchak. So Knesset Yisrael was named for Reb Yisrael Salanter. That was the regular Slobodka. And Beis Yitzchak was where Reb Bachmai was Rosh Yeshiva. Okay, fine. So Zakhtar Beruvain like this. He says, V'nir loymar, the afagav the kufr kapara, even though Avada the Gemara says kufr is a kapara. It's not that type of a kapara. When the Gemara says when your animal kills a person, you got to give money, and that's the kapara. It's not the pshat, like you got to bring a carbon when you turn on the light switch accidentally. It's a different type of kapara. Ella av ze medin tashlum enizikinu. Even that kapara is to. That's what you were saying, David. It's to compensate for the damage. Because even in a case where there's no kaif, you still have to pay the actual value. Says Reb Reuven, what do you mean? How can you deny the obvious that the kaifer is for the loss of life? The kaifer is still there because you took away this person's life, which you devalued him. The same way you devalue a person when you harm him, you devalue him when you kill him. But he writes, "V'kufre kapar hanuz tashlumi hanezik nosna olav atayre din kapar." So what does he want to say? He says, even though the Gemara says kufre kapar, it's not the pshat that the lumdus of the payment is a kapara. The payment gives you a kapara, but the root of the payment is a tashlumin payment.
It
means there's absolutely no kapara involved. There's no kapara. It's all financial. I mean, according to this,
kufra mammon gives kapara if you hold.
That's right.
Kapara, and giving mammon does.
That's right. Does not give you kapara. It makes you pay up your debt. Right? When you pay your taxes, you don't get a kapara. You pay up, you do. But sometimes when you make a payment like this, you can get a kapara. So according to this, Reb Reuven, it takes away the whole kasha that we had last week. We had a kasha. What's Rashi going to do with kaifer? It's not a kasha. Kaifer, although the Gemara says kufra kapara, it's not really kapara. Kufra kapara is a much deeper experience. It's much more along the lines of a mominus de gechiv that gives you a kapara as well. As opposed to the chomish, which we're assuming, because again, it's exclusively a kapara. Because again, why?
Over and above.
Exactly. I didn't cause you a fifth worth of damage. At least over here, when you pay for the dead person, you lowered his value. There's no question. You devalued a person. So therefore, that payment is perceived as a mominus, which, again, here you have to look at it. Is it a mominus that gives you a kapara? Or is the whole kapara through the mominus?
And the kofar is paid to the yorshim.
Correct. That's right. That's right. You don't give it to a third party. You give it to the people because you devalued their live family member. And therefore, so according to this Reb Reuven, it takes away the whole kasha from kofar. Okay, so that's l'chara, something to think about, that the kasha from kofar might not be shiva in the first place because kofar might be really a mominus dikachiyav. Like, it might be like Malkus. Like we spoke about last week from Rabbi Chanan. Malkus might give you a kapara, but be atzmusai. Its basis is not a kapar. Its basis is a financial obligation that you have to the family. By doing so, you'll also obtain a kapar.
I'm saying in Malkus, it's really a punishment.
That's right.
And you also
that's right. So over here, Reb Reuven.
Right.
So here, Reb Reuven, and the truth is, it's not just Reb Reuven. His shver in Birka Shmuel says the same idea. I don't know if they worked on it together or not, but his father-in-law says the same idea. His father-in-law points out in Birka Shmuel that same lumdus, that kufra kapara doesn't mean that the whole chiv comes just for kapara. It means that through the mominus you will obtain a kapara, but at its root, it's a financial obligation, which is very, very mistaver, I think, to think like that. Because again, it's totally in the machlokes of the Gemara whether or not we look at people as if they have domim. Do we look at the Gemara says yesh domim lo adam or ain domim lo adam? That's a Gemara in Baba Kama. But that's Reb Bachmai and Reb Reuven's mahalach in the sugi. Okay, so that. that answered the kasha from last week about kaif. But now let's go one step further.
Do we always understand that as being kapara, or it's just a fine?
No, Taisvis was mechadish to us. We'll see, it's machlaikis. Taisvis holds that fifth that you pay for eating chumah b'shagig is a knas. That's clear, but its purpose is to give you a kapar. That's the whole makeup of the chiyuv. Obviously, there's a momentous element in it. You're paying the chaymish, but the purpose and the nature and the lumdus and all the details are all kapar based, which Taisu says
this
no kibbutz.
It's above and beyond the equity.
That's right.
Lumdus, now you can start.
That's a good reason.
Right.
Now, the problem is we're going to come across, hopefully at some point, if we get out of source 3-4 from last week, we'll see other momentous obligations that are above the actual damage. And we still have to figure it out after kapara momentous. So hopefully we'll get to that in a second. So let's just finish up. This is all from last week still. This number three is the Binas Daniel Lerfield from Beis Yisrael, the Rosh Hashiva there. So we started talking about, so his kasha we mentioned is not such a kasha. With all due respect, his kasha was, how does Rashi learn kaifer if Rashi seems to maybe hold like Taisus? The answer is, kaifer is a whole different sugya. Fine. Then he continues, number three. He has a long shtickle on this, very nice shtickle. He writes this. Ulam zegufa tzarechi, number three. He says, this is bothersome. Shari l'chayra svaras Taisus tzadekas. He thinks Taisus is right. What does it mean Taisus is right? He thinks that anything that's kapara should definitely not be subjected to kimli. We mentioned before that might be a machlokes Rashi and Taisus. We don't know. We don't know what Rashi holds in this sugya. Rashi is very unclear. We know that the Gemara says if you eat truma b'shoigig, you don't have kimle b'drammeh. We don't know why. According to Rashi, it could be for many reasons. It could be A, because there's no kimle b'shoigig. It could be because Rashi holds it's a kapara. We don't know. We don't know what Rashi holds about kapara. But he wants to suggest that it's hard to imagine that Rashi doesn't hold the svara of Taisvis. Pashup Shah, Taisvis, or Rashi argues. Rashi says you can have kimle na kapara. Why can't you have kimle na kapara? Maybe you could have kimle b'drammeh kapara. Who says he can't? Taisus made it up. So Rashi will disagree. Right, they're all allowed to argue on each other. That's the beauty of Torah. So Taisus came up with this novel idea that something which is a kapara, you can't say kimle. Taisus, Rashi will say, yes, you could. Now, that might be l'shitasai to what he says by kaifer. That's why Rashi says you have kimle b'drammeh by kaifer, because Rashi has no problem saying something which is kapara can still be subjected to kimle b'drammeh. But he points out like this. He says, he takes us back to an old Rashi that we saw. Everyone remember Tzadi Aleph. Shema Shemir and Esnan also Torah Filo Bolim. The famous Gemara. The Gemara says that Esnan is an animal that was used, that was a payment for Znus, cannot be bought as a carbon, even if the Zoyna was your own mother. Okay? So the Gemara, if you remember that Gemara, so we dealt a lot with that Gemara, with that Rashi. So Rashi had a cash over there. Now why is it considered a payment? Because the halach is that if you live with your mother, you chayv misa. So if you chayv misa, you don't owe your mother the money for the znus. So if you don't owe your mother the money for the znus, even if you decide to give the animal to your mother in payment, just because you don't want to be awkward at the next family gathering, which it probably will be already, right? So you pay the money anyways. But Dr. Rashi, why is that a chiyuv? That was a gift you gave to your mother. So Rashi came up with a gavaldi chiddush. Shekotzev shekol adin shekim l'drameh shel risha achas avidin rak she'in bezdin ein koicham la'ein shom shtayim. Rashi learned that bezdin, that k'dei rishasai, kim l'drameh means bezdin can't enforce two punishments. Avachayev lotzis de shemayim v'gam tfisim hani, but you still owe the money in heaven. Meaning, Reuven kills Shimon, and by doing so, he also rips his shirt. So he owes him for the killing, and he owes him for the shirt. So Bezni cannot make him pay for the shirt. That's Kim Leib Ramani. Says Rashi, but when Reuven gets up to Shemaim, he's going to be held accountable for killing Shimon. He's also going to be held accountable for ripping his shirt as well. And on top of that, if the family of the deceased goes and grabs the money from the murderer, they get to keep the money. Why? Because Kimlay is not an exception. Kimlay is just a technical problem. This is what we spoke about so many times. The two dinim in Kimlay of Duramineh, if it's from Asan or Kedei Rishasa, Reb Chaim and others. So he's going with Rashi Bar Metzia. Rashi Bar Metzia says if Kedei Rishasa is Bezdin's din, so then Bezdin's limited. V'hainu, Shekol Adin Shekim Duramineh, Hainu Rak Tim Bezdin. Avaloy have a Ptor Be'etzim. It doesn't mean you don't deserve the second punishment. And a guy rips a shirt and beats a guy and kills a person, it's not like the pshat, he doesn't have to pay the shirt.
So you could voluntarily give it, if you want to clear your
correct.
Scales
that's right.
Heaven,
that's right. Then you would pay it before you go, or leave instructions with the family. Mm-hmm. So he writes, that's why this animal that you don't really have to give to your mother, but since technically you do owe it to her, that's enough to make it into a esnan and not allowed to be bought for a carbon. MK. So with that backdrop, says Reb Daniel, if that's true, so if tashlumei truma is a kapara, meaning the truma that you ate, and now the chaymish that you have to pay, is a kapara, how can you apply kimle d'ramineh? This is what we saw from Reb Steinman a little bit last week. If the whole lumdus of the payment is something I need to do, so how can I say kimle d'ramineh on that? Kimle d'ramineh is the pshat, the bezdin can't make you Beis Din can't give you two punishments. This is not a Beis Din punishment. This is a you punishment. This is a you. This is between you and God. Leave Beis Din out of this. You have to clear your slate before you get up to the next world.
That's any kapara.
Anything that's a kapara. So therefore, he says that that's the lomdus, and I totally understand Tosfos. You can't say kimli d'ramine is which is a kapara because I need that kapara. Kimli d'ramine is when Beis Din is going to give me two punishments. Beis Din's not giving me two punishments. This is one punishment from Beis Din and one punishment that I have to deal with. That's like the way Reb Steinman explained it last week.
Can Beis Din enforce?
So he says Beis Din eim mashkinan al zeh. Beis Din will not force you.
Did not read ahead.
I'm telling you, you're on a roll today, David. By next week, you're going to say this year. Who Beis Din ain't mashkin lo, and Beis Din will not force you to bring a kapara. Beis Din might get involved. That's part of Beis Din's role. But to force you, Beis Din can't force you to go a kapara. It's between you and God.
Karen
we're talking about the chomish. The imkain shaper lo shaych lo.
Maybe the Karen. Maybe yeah. The Karen would be subject to kimli, and once the Karen is subject to kimli, maybe it drags along the chomish with it.
Well, we went the other way. We said if the chomish is out, so then. We'll come back to cases where the Karen and the Chomesh are different. Hold on.
Because he's saying here on the Chomesh, this has this din of
obligation. Well, that's what Tosfos was coming off of. Tosfos was coming off of the din of Chomesh as a kapara.
But I'm saying here, in what's being said here.
I'm saying, but the same idea. He's coming
Karen
off of Tosfos.
The Chomesh will be in the same concept?
Sounds like it, even though, again, the Karen is a lot harder to explain. The Karen seems to be a strictly regular... Right. Even though, if anyone remembers, we spoke a little bit about that 2 weeks ago. We spoke about maybe the Karen is different even... as well, but okay, it's an observation. So he writes like this: V'im kein shaper loyshayach loymar disha kim d'ramnei patroisle. The cost of kinek tzois b'simri chavches. V'im kein tzorich yin kan l'fishitas Rashi imsovik kim d'ramnei man the poitim etashol mitchum. So says Reb Daniel, he's got a kasha. He says, why would anyone say that you can have kim d'ramnei on a kapara? It just doesn't make any sense. If you understand kim d'ramnei is the pshat, the bezin cannot enforce two punishments. So then one punishment is not bezin. One punishment is yours. Now what would be the easy answer to his kasha? We know there's two types of kimli d'rabbanis. There's kimli d'rabbanis that's learned from Beis Din. There's kimli d'rabbanis learned from Imloi HaAson, which means not only can Beis Din enforce, but you can experience two punishments. So if I can't experience two punishments, so I guess you could still maybe kvetch and say, well, it's not a punishment. It's not a punishment. You're not experiencing two punishments. You're experiencing a punishment and a kapara. Okay, maybe. That's his aura. So listen to what he says over here. This is really very interesting because this brings back our whole sugya together. Number four, he says, Va'abir b'zeh. He wants to say maybe the machloikis Rashi and Tosfos to whether or not you say kim lev d'rabbanei by kofer is totally in another shaila, which is something we spoke about earlier. We actually something we saw in the Birkas Avram from Avram Erlinger Zatzal. We got it in right before he died. We mentioned from him that we know that there's a gzeres hakosov that we say chai v'krisus has kim lev d'rabbanei. That's a drasha. Nechoni ben Akana has a drasha that chai v'krisus is also subjected to kim lev d'rabbanei. So the clear is how does that work? Is that its own independent concept of kimle d'ramine, or that just another example of kimle of Mises Beis Din? Meaning, is it its own category, its own mechudash type of kimle d'ramine, or it's really part of the old kimle d'ramine that you have by Mises Beis Din, you just throw it over to Karis also? What's the difference? So he explains. Va'abir b'zeh, she'be'emes yesh lachkot. Im chidush ha'shob nechoni ben akona ha've shema shaloyim demi osan, ha've riboy leparashas shakadei rishasay. When the Gemara made a drasha of Asan Asan, which taught me that you have Kimlev D'Ramine by Karis, is that the pshat that the Torah just expanded on Kedei Rishasai? Meaning, Kedei Rishasai teaches me that Beis Din can't give more than one punishment. And on top of that, we included also, not just Beis Din, we somehow kvetched Karis also. Which means the drasha of Nechoni ben Akana was continuing on the original drasha. The original drasha in the Torah says you can only give one punishment, and that we included not only Beis Din, we included Hashem also. That's one way to learn Reb Nechoniah ben Akana. That Reb Nechoniah ben Akana was really piggybacking off of the original din of kimle. He was just broadening it. He was saying that when the Torah said Beis Din can only give one punishment, it's not only the Torah, but it includes Hashem as well.
You mean when Abaye brought his reason?
That's right.
He was doing it off of from
exactly
the basis of the first
part. Right. Is our starting point the kimle of Beis Din, and we expanded to include the kimle of Karis also. That's one way of looking at it. Oh, what's the other tzad? Shaloi rak chayv mises bezin al koil gam chayv mises chayv krisus the chom beparshas kimle d'ramine v'zeu shitas. That's how Tosfos understood. Tosfos understood that when Reb Nechoni ben Akana came into town and he was mechadish that there's kimle by kares. What he basically said was, I'm broadening the kimle of the Torah to include not only bezin but to include kares as well. Fine. Ulchein Tosfos kasu shekamoisha. I mean, a ton of the bechizka bechayv mises bezin who had the mises of kares. He says, now I understand Tosfos. Tosfos says that even by kares, Shoigig also has kimle. Why? Because this is beautiful. Because the whole concept of kimle by kares is just piggybacking off of the regular kimle. It's when the Torah said Kimle by Bezdin, the Torah also said, and by the way, I want you to include Karis in that. So therefore says Taisvis, if I'm including Karis in that, so then I'm going to include Karis when it comes to Shagig also. Just like in Bezdin, Shagig has Kimle, so to Karis, Shagig should also have Kimle. And that's Shitas HaTaisvis and HaSugya, where Taisvis holds that if a person does Karis B'Shagig, he also has Kimle.
It's always going to buy it.
It's all going to buy it, yeah. Now it gets even better. So what's the other tzad? She is soy didn't shrub nuchundi men akana have a parsha chadosho shokim le vidramne bechevza. Vavi ptur be'etzem ha-mechai v'loy rak din be'bezdin. What's the other way to learn nuchundi men akana? And nuchundi men akana said, there's another type of kim le vidramne. There's a kim le vidramne that has nothing to do with bezdin. It has to do with the person. A person can't receive two punishments. Forget bezdin. Kedei Rishah says bezdin. There's another sug, another category, another type, another whole lumdus of kimle that an individual cannot experience two punishments. That obviously makes sense for Karis also. I don't care who's giving the punishment. The point is the individual can't get two punishments. Now that's a whole different type of kimle. One kimle is a din of bezdin, and one kimle is a din of the gavra. One is a din of bezdin can't give, and one is a din of bezdin a person can't receive.
But he doesn't go redefine what the Torah means by bezdin.
No, that's right. That's sticking with that. Different lumnus. This is a new chiddush in the Torah.
That's why you get chorus.
We already had this.
Yeah.
So how is this different? How is this? Is he just? Why are you bringing this instead of just saying? Remember when we?
No. So he wants to suggest that maybe according to the Chunim and Akana, it's not the pshat. We're just expanding the original kimle. We're coming up with a whole new kimle. It's a whole new concept of kimle. Not the typical case. Typical kimle means that Bezdin can't give two punishments. And we'll be mechayis. Not only Bezdin, but Hashem also can't give two punishments. Fine. The other way of saying it is, no, it's not about Hashem. It's about you.
Nafkamina.
Oh, what's the nafkamina? So he explains beautifully. He says, if that's true, if ha nafkamina have kima shikasav atzlach b'psachim daf chotes, shem nuchon yibin akana. David played a lottery today. Shem nuchon yibin akana, ein echayiv lotzis v'shemayim v'tvis aloi mahani. If you remember way back already, I don't know, probably a month ago, we mentioned the Tzlach. The Tzlach says, what about according to Nechunya ben Akana? Let's say a person does something to another person that gives him karis, but he also has a chiv mamonis. Would tfisa be on the table in such a case? Would you have tfisa by karis? Or by karis is a whole different category. So says the Tzlach, no, there's no tfisa by karis.
He must hold the second.
He must hold the second side of the hakira.
That's get too,
exactly. That's a whole new payment. It's not the pshat that we can't. Our hands are tied, and we can't give you two punishments. The pshat is the Torah exempted you. It's a ptur. The Torah exempted you from getting two punishments. So if the Torah exempted you, there's no tvisa. There's no losses de shemayim. So says Reb Daniel. Oh, so now he thinks everything is gishma.
But if you hold it, it's an expansion.
But if you hold it, it's an expansion of the first one, then it should follow the same lumbus. So he wants to tell you that's the machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Why? The kibbutz just feel like Rashi shalafid nuchundi ben akona. Have a pasha archer was a poiter. I feel the chiv lots of the shemaim. He wants a taina that Rashi holds like the second side of the chakir. That kim lebi deramine by karis is a new chiddush, a new type of kim lebi deramine that it's about the recipient, not about bezdin. And therefore, he wants to say according to that, it would make sense that kim le would be applicable, and it would not limit a person from. It would not create a chiv lots of the shemaim. You'd be potter because you were exempt from the Torah. Im kain, parashizu shaltona de bichizkel rabbi shogig kimeiz le'nember gabo. If that's true, that's why Rashi holds there's no kimle b'shogig. Why does Rashi hold there's no kimle b'shogig by karis? Because Rashi holds karis is its new and own independent kimle b'dramine. And you have no pasuk for that. The pasuk that you have for kimle of shogig was by Mises Bezdin. So if karis was a byproduct of Mises Bezdin, it was derived from Mises Bezdin, expanded off of Mises Bezdin. So once I have it by Mises Bezdin, I have it also. But Rashi Shita is not like that. Rashi Shita is karis is its independent source, a new concept in the Torah, and that new concept has no pasuk for shogig. That's why Rashi holds there's no kim levdramine by shogig of karis. Now it's very gishmak. Now let's take it one step further. He says now im kain ube'emes lefirim nuchonye ben akona kim levdramine poitu afilu tashlomi kapara. He wants to say if that's true. Now maybe we can understand Rashi. If Kimle b'dirabamine is now a new category, it's a new lumdus that you can't get two punishments, so maybe even Kapara would be exempt you. But if Taisvis is right, that Kimle b'dirabamine is good old-fashioned Kimle b'dirabamine, Bezdin can't give you two punishments, this is not a punishment. This is not Bezdin giving you two punishments, this is you and Hashem happening to get a Kapara. So he wants to say that this Chakira, of where we learn at Chai V'Krisis from, should be told in this Machlokes Rashi and Taisvis in two ways. A, first of all, would Shoigig be applicable by Chayvi Krisis? And B, would Kapara be applicable? A nice shtickel Torah put everything together of what we've been discussing for the last couple of weeks. Okay.
You say Kapara is not a punishment.
Right, you can always go that route. Right, you can always go that route. It's not mukhach what he's saying. Correct. You can always say according to Taisus that he'll argue on that premise of what a kapara is. That's probably the most poshut way of learning the machloekis. What exactly is a kapara? Yeah, 100%. Okay, so let's get back into the new stuff. So we mentioned from Taisus. Taisus writes that the kofer, the chaimish that you pay by truma is a kapara. What's Taisus's raya? From the fact that the kohen can't be moichlet. So the Rash on the commentary on the side of the Mishnayis and Trumas. If you look in the Gemara on Zerayim, so on the side they have the Rash. He wrote a commentary on the side. So he writes, the print is as large as it is. It's not my shrinking it. He writes,
number
5. He says, Avol ein loimar mishum dehave kapara avoin kikarbon. Don't tell me that the reason why you can't be moichalit is because it's a kapara. Because it's a chaimish, that regezel chaveiroi v'nishba v'hoida the moisiv chaimish v'tanya b'gezel kamo d'yochalim. Frek the Rash, don't try to tell me like Taisus. Taisus wanted to tell me that the fact that the kohen can't be moichalit, that's a raya that it must be a kapar. He says, what are you talking about? There's a Gemara in Baba Kam, there's a Mishnah in Baba Kam, Daf Kuf Gimel. The Mishnah in Baba Kam talks about a case. This is already found in the Chumash. Let's say, for example, a person steals from his friend, and his friend comes over and says, why did you steal from me? I didn't do it. Wasn't me. I didn't steal. And they go to Bezdin, and he swears in Bezdin, and he's a liar. And he's found to be a liar. So Allah says he has to pay Karen v'chaymish. He has to pay back to the guy he stole from and swore falsely, a Karen v'chaymish. Now, Frek the Rash, what do you think that chaymish is? That's got to be a kapara. I didn't take away more than I stole from you. So, and yet the Mishnah says in Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, that the owner can be Meichel the chaymish.
Well, why wouldn't you say it's a knas?
No, it is a knas, but the question is it a kapara?
In addition to a
exactly. So what the Rash is trying to get at over here is how do you know when a chaimish is a kapara, when it's not a kapara? Maybe it's not true. Meaning, we find two places in the Torah where you have to pay a chaimish. One is by truma, and one is by when you steal and you swear falsely. And yet in one place, the Gemara says you could be meichel, and here it says you can't be meichel.
But by truma, it was a shogeg.
Okay.
And here it's amazing.
That might be true. That's,
it is true, because you lie.
I agree with you. But why does that change what the payment is?
Because maybe you can't get a kapara by just paying a little bit extra if you did something on purpose. And you lied about it and based it.
So why are you paying that chaimish?
Maybe it's knas. Then not only to deter people from stealing, but also lying about it and based it.
And b'shogeg it can't be the same thing?
No, b'shogeg is shogeg.
B'shogeg is not going
to
be
deter.
To be more careful. Deter you to be more careful. Again, this is where we're playing. This is where we're kind of in the dark over here. We have two places in Shas that have similar payments but very different rules. That's the Rashi's kasha. The Rashi's kasha is that if I find in Baba Kama that when I have a chaimish for being a liar, and there you're allowed to be meichelit, so why?
Call it kofer in that case?
No, that's called chaimish. The chaimish is the same chaimish by truma.
Right.
It's the same fifth that you have to pay by a truma. So, Frank, the Rash, what's
Robert? Just was the point. If the point is to deter people. You should. The rule should be you should not be able to be mochalit because you want the Torah to be enforced. Well, that's more reason to say that
the problem with that.
But maybe it's also extra compensation for the tircha making the guy go to Basin to collect his money. No, seriously,
anything's possible.
Not enough to just pay him back.
I have no idea. We're guessing over here.
It's like
we're,
legal fees, you know.
Again, it's possible. Yeah. You understand?
What happens?
100%. Anything is possible.
It's so easy to see, though, that they're really different.
Why?
One's being a shogeg and one's amazing.
Why does that change it?
One's straight in mammon and based in one is having to do with.
Depends who you hire.
Truma, the idea of.
But again, if everything. If we're trying to figure out what we're supposed to take away from the fact that a person's paying a chaimish. So
well, we have sources that say they're different. So.
Okay, good. So that's what we're going
to
try to work out now. So let's try to work this out. So the Rash disagrees with Taisus, and the Rash says he doesn't believe that Chaimish is a Kapara. He doesn't believe Chaimish is a Kapara. He says, why? Because I have other places where there's a Chaimish, and the Torah allows you to be Moichlet. Torah says it's not true. Chaimish is not a Kapara. Chaimish is a penalty, and any penalty maybe could be Moichlet. Now, Rabbi Chanan,
you can't be motivated in that case. He has a different reason.
The reason why the kohen can't be moichel the truma, says the Rash, has nothing to do because it's a kapara. He says the reason why the kohen can't be moichel is because it's a din. The chaimish has to be. I didn't want to get into it so much this week. Is that the reason is because you have to give him something that he can turn into truma. So you have an obligation to replace the truma that you took away. So how does it help to be moichel? So we'll talk hopefully sometime that Rabbi Chanan has another shtickel in Baba Basra. This is Rabbi Chanan in Pesach. Rabbi Chanan has a shtickel in Baba Basra. He talks about what happened to the old shayla of Mechilas Kilu Eskabalti. Mechilas, there's a Rashi in Gittin. A Rashi says Mechila means as if I got it.
I didn't have the coffee.
It's Kilu, I got it. Let's say, for example, a person owes you money. You say, forget it, keep the money. So not the pshat that you waive the obligation. It's the pshat as if you got the money. Kilu Eskabalti, I got the money. So that's a question over here. One second. So maybe that's the way Mechila works over here. So that might be irrelevant for us. So we're going to come back to that Blei Neder in a second.
But,
so,
but the Chomesh doesn't fall into that category.
Why?
Because that's extra. You're replacing what you took.
So maybe if you tell me it's as if you got it, so it's as if you got it. Right? If any mumminous obligation could be available to Mechila, so that would just mean that I look at it as if I got it. So,
and you have to pay the Chomesh to the Kohen you stole from? We learned not.
No, it gives to any Kohen. That's correct.
Maybe that's why you can't.
Good, good. We'll get to that. We'll get to Rabbi Chanan's going to point that out. Yeah, we'll get to that. Let's see. So first, Rabbi Chanan Tain is that the whole Rash is a Pella. He says because the Rash is against the Gemara. What did the Rash say? The Rash wants the Taina that the Chomesh that you have when you swear falsely in Bezdin about taking your friend's Chayfetz, he thinks that's a Kapar. And Chaimish is a kapar, and still you see, you're able to be Meichel. Also, you see, you could be Meichel Chaimish. So why did Taisa tell us you can't be Meichel the Chaimish of Trum? So Rabbi Chanan points out number 6, he says, Kushas Harash, the Svila, the Chaimish, who kapar, Kosha. The Gemara, Baba Kamakov, Gimma Maskin, the Chaimish, who Mamein of Alay Kapar. So says the Ra, says Rabbi Chanan, first of all, it's not true. The Rash's whole kash is based on the premise that when you pay a chaimish for lying in Bezdin, that chaimish is a kapara. And still the Mishnah says that that chaimish can be Meichel. So you see, you could sometimes be Meichel a kapara. Fact of Chana, it's just against the Gemara. The Gemara says that the Chaimish is absolutely not a Kapara. That Chaimish is actually a Mominous obligation. And if that Chaimish is a Mominous obligation, now we understand why you can be Meichelet. But in our Gemara, where Taisus was Mechadish, that our Chaimish is a real Kapara, Avada, that you can't be Meichelet. So Rabbi Chana just points out right off the bat that this Rash is a little bit against the Gemara. Then Rabbi Chana comes along. This is Rabbi Chana Baba Basra. Says Rabbi Chana, Le'inyan in Mechila, Mahani Mechila Bekapara. Says Rabbi Chanan, let's go a step back. Tosfos says you can't be Meichel HaKapara. The Rash says you could be Meichel HaKapara. What's his raya? Because in the case of when you steal an object and you lie about it, and the Tosfos says you have to pay a Chaimish, and that the Rash thinks that Chaimish is a Kapara, and the Mishnah says in Baba Kama, you can be Meichel. So we seem to have a machoikis on our hands whether or not you can be Meichel HaKapara. Says Rabbi Chanan, what's the point of argument between these two? So he says, Kigoin. Bekoifa. Let's talk about Koifa for a second. The man d'omer d'hu kapara. Da'as Taisus b'abakam mem gimod loy mahani. You can't be Meichel. That's Taisus l'shitasi. Taisus holds kufra kapara, and Taisus holds you can't be Meichel the Koifa. V'atam the mechila misalek is chos hativeh. Says Rabbi Chanan, what does mechila do? Mechila removes the right for you to come and collect. U'memeila potter anitva. Says Rabbi Chanan, how does the mechila work? A mechila is the pshat that I have the right to come and collect money. If I take away my right, then there's nothing to collect. Because there is the whole chiyuv is neveya from the fact that I have a tviyah on you. If I decide not to use my tviyah, so then there's nothing to talk about. There's nothing here. Says Rabbi Chanan, umemela patra anitva. The chiyuv hu betoilada mizchusa shel tviyah. The obligation is created by the fact that I have a right to come collect. If I decide to not use my right, so then we're finished. Nothing to talk about.
Why? Well, what if you have your own jointly to two people, and one is
okay? That would be more complicated. But
I'm just saying, so if you have one, why are you saying it's nowhere from there? It's nowhere from the fact that I owe.
What does it mean to owe? I owe means in relevancy to who I owe it to. I only owe it if there's someone that I owe it to. I mean, the reason why I owe you money is because you have a right to get money from me. Mele, I owe it to you. This is the old question of how do things start off. Rabbi Chanan is assuming the way it starts off is that because he can come collect money from me, that's why I owe it to him. If he decides not to collect the money from me, so then the obligation falls off.
Yeah,
so Rabbi Chanan,
is it really a debt?
That's right. Right. Is it a right to collect, or it's there be'etzem, and if I decide to not collect it, it still sits there somewhere as an obligation. He says, avo b'kapara hu lehepach. Says Rabbi Chanan, that's true in a regular mominus. A regular mominus chiv is created from the right that I have to collect. But kapara is the opposite. This chus ha-teveya hu b'toilodo mechiyuva shel ha-nitval his-chaper. I have to give you the money because I got to clear my conscience. And because I have to give you the money, hence you have the right to come get the money. It's backwards. Mm-hmm. Says Rabbi Chanan, kapara works the opposite of a regular mominus. A regular mominus is that you have the right to come collect it. Because you have the right to come collect it, that's why I owe it to you. But by kapara, it's the opposite. I owe you the money because I need to get a kapara. Because I owe it to you, hence you have a right to come collect
you
it from me.
Do you visa on a kapara? Like, is there a time limit?
I don't know. I'm not sure if you have the right. Because I need my kapara. Meaning saying, I need my kapara. So I got to do what I have to do. Well, it's the opposite. I have to give you.
The question,
I have to give you
I
a kapara.
Visa on the Karen because it's forcing. I am allowed to go take it from you.
Right.
But
right. I'm not sure.
But maybe you were going to do the kapara tomorrow. So why can't I take it?
Presumably, you wouldn't be allowed to. You wouldn't be allowed to. I would assume you're not allowed to grab the kapara. So says Rabbi Chanan, this is the best part. He says, "Va'afim et tevei yisalag zchusoi." Let's say by kapara the teveya says, "You know what? I don't care about the money." Mikomokam chiyuva denitva lepaka. I need to pay you. It's not about you. It's about me. Says Rabbi Chanan, the difference between mamonis and kapara is who's the person that has the obligation. It's kavaldik. So says Rabbi Chanan, va'korchach lo'im hana mechila. And now we understand why mechila doesn't work. Mechila just changes the fact that you can't come and ask it from me. But the obligation is not you to me. The obligation is me to you.
But do you have mechila to ask for kapara? And you just say, the individual who needs the kapara.
Right.
There's a chiv to ask for kapara.
No. He wants to obtain the kapara. So even if you're moichel me. Right. We're assuming he wants to do it.
Between you and Akash.
Correct, but I need you.
That's
right. Right, I need you involved. So says Rabbi Chanan, so now we understand why you can't be moichel a kapara. Omnom. He named the mechila kikabala. But if you hold that a mechila as if I got it, bitam afuche mitras alomli, the Gemara says, why should we go through the whole charades? Hey, you're mechila, so as if you gave it to me. Zeshech, gam bekapara. So Bechonim wants to say, it should be shech. Sharei ilu shilim la kaifer, hayayachal achzalei. If I would have paid it to you, you could have given it back to me. So Zakhtar Bechonim, achidish. Bechonim wants to say, if you hold that mechila as kilu as kabalti, then you would be able to say by a kapara. Mechila. He writes, "V'efshir shezeu tamah shal harash trumas parag zayin degam bekapara shayche mechila." So says Rabbi Chanan. Maybe that's found the Rash. The Rash in Trumas who says that you do mechila by a kapara is because he holds the lumnus of mechila is kilu eskabalti, and since mechila is kilu eskabalti, so why shouldn't it work by kapara also? We look at it as if you got it. So Abulina, the next week we'll see why this maybe doesn't work in the Rash himself based on the words that he wrote in number 5. We'll have to get to Abulina, the Mitzvah Shem, next week.